It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
So we did, or at least I read off some of the names inside CBS Sports Top 100 players for the NFL. Multiple Texans made the list. One guy who, at least I don't remember being in the list, has made the Top 100 list from the players. Aziz Ashaer, number 92 on the list of Top 100 players in football. We may play that audio here. I might throw that on the rundown, AJ. But it's all the players that he has relationships with, actually. Kyle Juszczyk, his former teammate in San Francisco. Dalton Schultz, his current teammate. Will Anderson, you would hear in there. And they're just talking about the things we know, the physicality. And Aziz said something where it's to be expected, because they asked him, or he was prompted, I guess. And he said something that would speak to the confidence he has in himself. So I'll throw that on there, AJ, as Aziz Ashaer makes the top 100 list. Congratulations to him. Got a big deal this offseason, and his peers are recognizing him as one of the best players in the game. So we'll get to that. As far as Cape Fear, which our caller Keith asked about, I'm watching the show. I'm an episode behind. For those who don't know, I think it's the third version of Cape Fear that's been brought to screen. You had an older one. I think Gregory Peck was involved in that. That's how old it is. And then you had the Robert De Niro one, where I played a clip sometimes of this maniacal laughter in the theater. That's Robert De Niro from Cape Fear. He's laughing at Problem Child, if you remember that movie, with the dearly departed John Ritter playing the adopted father of said Problem Child. But that's the movie that a crazy maniac is laughing at. This version has Javier Bardem as the Max Cady character, and they're adapting the story into not only a more modern one, but also changing some of the story beats. So if you know about the Robert De Niro movie, you are going to be a little surprised by what you see in this one. You still have the predatory aspect of Max Cady, his potential disruption of the family. And in this one, Amy Adams plays the lawyer, and she's married to another lawyer, and Patrick Wilson. They have a couple kids. How do I put this? It is prestige-y trash. Like, it's trashy television. But in the best way, if you like it. It would be something that you might see on Cinemax, but it has much better actors in it as far as the story and some of the subject matter. I think someone said, I can't remember exactly what they said, so I won't say it. But it's in that category. It's prestige-y, trashy television, and it's pretty entertaining on Apple TV if you want to watch it. I think it's five episodes in as they play this story out from what was a movie with Robert De Niro. There it is, Keith. I like it. It's not something I rush to. I don't watch it on the day of, but because my TV, the smart TV, will tell you, hey, there's a new episode of this. Do you want to watch it? I get alerted to it, and I'll eventually get to it. So much soccer, man. So I'm not watching as much TV because I got soccer all day to get to. There's about an hour gap between the matches, so I'm either going to do that or do something else. And normally, just because I'm going to watch TV again, it'll just be soccer. I decide not to watch an hour of television in between. But once the World Cup is over, I'll get back into my normal routine. Speaking of television, Michael Carroll will join us in about 20 minutes or so to talk about Supergirl, which he has watched. He has a review of it up on his Letterboxd account. And then he's also, remember, the host of Comicast. He does that with Zhong Li. I also want to remind you, since I just did mention soccer, our final watch party of the week is about 50 minutes away, a little less than that now. It's brought to you by Huntington Bank. You can join ESPN 975, the guys out there, from 12 to 6. The bullpen, which is Sean and Brian. And then we've also got Jeremy and Joe out at By the Wayside. Final day of a pretty much a week-long watch party that we've had. So go on out there, hang out with the guys, watch all the matches, and enjoy at By the Wayside. When we come back, we'll get to that Aziz Alshire sound, because the quote he has is the epitome of Aziz Alshire. So we'll get to that. We'll take more calls if you want to get in, and then we'll be joined by Michael Carroll. We'll do that when we come back.
John and Lance, weekday mornings from 7 to 10.
Listening to the Del Olalea Show. That's kind of full of sports, but also filled with a lot of movie talk. Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
We're about 13 minutes away from a lot of movie talk. We still got some sports to get to, and just to close out, or at least finish up the soccer segment, then we'll hear from Aziz Alshire. Norway and France play today for a chance to win the group. The winner would. I think France has a goal differential advantage, so they would win, I believe, if the match was tied. But Norway is like, you know what, France, have at it. Norway's going to roll out their B squad. Erling Haaland's not going to play, according to L'Equipe, which is a French publication. So if they are correct, Haaland and Odegaard, two of their top players, won't play as they roll out their B team. So France has an open path to win the group. We'll see if it goes that way. But there's the latest there. Could have been a star-studded matchup. France, if they play their top guys, has plenty. But Norway's top guys look like they won't be available, at least to start. All right, let's hear from a couple guys in this video. It is a combination of Kyle Juszczyk, Will Anderson, Dalton Schultz, and Aziz Alshire. We won't play all of it, but he is number 92 on the top 100 list for NFL players. So let's hear from a couple, well, at least one ex-teammate and some current teammates, and Aziz himself on this. What would you call it, AJ? It's not an award. This acknowledgement.
I guess so.
Yeah. I guess it's a random ranking by his peers. Let's hear from the guys. Did I not throw it on there? I didn't throw it on there. I thought I did. All right, I'll throw that on there. We'll get to that a little bit. Okay. While I'm finding it, hey, got all these windows open, and I thought I got there. I guess I did not. When I put it there, AJ will quickly throw it on our rundown. But we can stick with the Texans with this. There's a story from a former Texan telling the world that, no, he didn't get cut because he's not a good player. He got cut because he got into a verbal altercation with Nick Caserio's friend. The friend is unnamed. But what he said was, well, and the player in question is Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, famous for, at least with the Texans, for playing rogue, not playing with discipline, and the Texans couldn't have that. So he barely lasted a couple weeks with them. I think he made it to week 3 against Jacksonville, and that was the end of Chauncey Gardner-Johnson with the Texans. But he is attributing his release to someone calling him a bitch. He didn't like it, and that's why he's gone. So this alleged incident happened at, I believe, Greenbrier, which is where the Texans go to get out of the heat and have training camp. He said one of Nick Caserio's friends called him that word. He, as you might imagine, didn't take too kindly to it. He said he was out of body. So that led to his eventual release. It sounds not very plausible, because you would think, and now I will say this, reporters hold stuff back. depending on what it is. That's why we see so many times the notebook from a reporter after a season's over. You see all the things that you didn't hear about or read about beforehand because you don't want to disrupt the season or whatever the reason is. You have this end of the season notebook. It happened with Giannis after his trade. You found out about some of his issues with Doc Rivers and how it all came apart in Milwaukee. Those things happened. We did not hear about the Chauncey Gardner-Johnson incident after the Texans season was over. So it makes you question what's real and what isn't. But he allegedly got called that word and said that is why he lost his job. I was trying to think, do we even know who's a friend of Nick Caserio? I imagine he does have some, but it would have to be some random who got to watch practice. And that seems like something we would have heard about if Chauncey Gardner-Johnson had a blow-up, unless it was
you
a close.
You can't program a dog.
Okay. Thank you. Didn't know that was in the tuck, but I can't say he's lying because I don't know. But I also don't believe he got cut because he didn't take kindly to being called that word. In fact, if he was called that word, I think the entire roster and the coaching staff would have his back, even if it did come from a random Nick Caserio friend. I think the person who would have to answer the questions would be Nick Caserio. Why is your friend calling one of our guys that word? So I don't think that's why. I think it's because you played out a scheme, you gave up a big play, and they likely had words with you about being disciplined. And once that didn't happen, you had to go. So I'm firmly on the side of it could have happened, but it's not the reason you lost your job. Because for the most part, winning trumps all. And if you had done the things they wanted you to do, you would have been here. You didn't do it. You didn't live up to the standard that they set, so you had to go.
Planning against week one. It's going to be interesting.
Look, I'm not particularly worried.
Right.
I think he will, if he makes any play, he'll let everyone know
for
about
sure.
it.
For
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. That, oh, there's no question. A play being made by Chauncey Gardner-Johnson means we're going to hear about it and see about it. And that's even without extra motivation. If he is under the impression that he only lost his job because someone wronged him and he didn't respond kindly to it, he is definitely going to make it known. He plays for the Bills, by the way, if you didn't know. That is the Texans' week one opponent coming to NRG. Will there be a personal foul? If his beef is with management and not with the players, who's to say? It will be an extra storyline, just because now I'll have in the back of my head he thinks he lost his job, not for suck, but because someone used a word they shouldn't have used in describing him. I'm trying to think. Was it you're acting like one, you are one, or shut up?
Right.
Yeah, I wonder. That's what should get asked week one. I don't know any Bills reporters, but that's the missive I would send. Hey, give me the context, because there's no context in it other than he got called one and didn't like it. Do we have the Aziz clip? So this is Aziz making the top 100 and some of his people talking about his qualities.
I have so much respect for Aziz and how he plays the game, because he plays it so fast, so physically, so aggressively. I feel like that's a big reason of why they've been so dominant this year, is because of his leadership and just the way that he plays football.
I think I am probably, truthfully, one of the most complete linebackers in the NFL.
Aziz is physical, dude. Like, when it's between the lines, like, he's going to hit the shit out of you.
He can bring a little bit more tenacity and nastiness to the game that I like.
He's a menace out there. He plays with a great mentality, downhill, physical.
You see him flying around, hitting people. He doing his helmet like this, and we just feed off of it.
So at the end, that was Will
to
Anderson.
Be a Mike.
You heard from N'Kobe Dean, which Ashton Jeanty is in there, Dalton Schultz, Kyle Juszczyk started it off. And then you also heard Aziz say he believes he's one of the most complete linebackers in the game. You know, he's not great in coverage, but that's not really what his job is. He's a tone setter. We have the stars of the Texans defense. You heard one in Will Anderson. You've got guys like Derek Stingley on the outside, Kamari Lassiter, and big hits all day. You have your tone setters that also can be stars. You have your stars because of their just absolute unique athletic ability. I think you have Mr. Texan, at least on defense, in Will Anderson. But you have the heartbeat in Azeez. It's the reason he's now the third highest paid linebacker in football. He is what they want as far as a tone setter. Now, they got plenty of them. Jalen Petrie's a guy I haven't even mentioned yet. And he was hitting people so hard, people thought he was committing personal fouls against Kansas City. It just turned out they're clean, big hits. So they got him across the board. But when we talk about the perfect encapsulation of what they want to be defensively, like, it's the guy in the middle. And I think the former linebacker, D'Amico Ryans, appreciates that he has a middle linebacker in there who leads from the front with attitude, with physicality. It's all there. That's why the Texans have a bunch of dogs on the team. And if you can't be one, you can't play there. You can't be someone who, I wouldn't even say runs from contact, because forget about that. You have to embrace it. You have to enjoy hitting people. Like, some guys will do the job, but it's not what they want to do. You would have to really search to find a guy, whether they be a starter or one of their backups who they feature, that doesn't embrace hitting someone and hitting them very hard. And Azeez is top of the list. All right, we'll go to break. Top 100 from Azeez. You will likely see more Texans on that list, including one of the guys you heard, Will Anderson. He'll probably be someone competing for top 10. When we come back, Michael Carroll will join us. He's the host of Comicast. He does that podcast every week. In fact, you can hear it most weeks here on ESPN 97.5 on Wednesdays. You can also hear it in regular old podcast form, wherever you listen to podcasts. When we come back, we'll hear from him. He watched Supergirl. We'll see what he thinks. Does it differ from some of the other reviews? And maybe he'll recommend watching it or not. We'll also get into some other things as well, because we haven't mentioned this, or really at all, during our time with Michael. Avatar, The Last Airbender, the live-action series, got season 2 going, I think, last night or at least yesterday. I watched the first couple episodes. I liked the show. I mean, I wasn't an Avatar fan for the cartoon. I've looked up some of the stuff to try to familiarize myself with the live-action. So far, so good in the early parts of season 2. So we'll talk about that and other stuff when we get back.
Follow ESPN Houston on social media at ESPN
97.5. And action!
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
He's here with us, Michael Carroll, the host of Comicast. He does that podcast with John Lee, their latest issue. Some of it has to do with the new Spider-Man trailer. Mm-hmm. Because I am sick of being given things I don't want to be given before the movie or TV series comes out, did a fast scroll. Mm-hmm. Didn't get any character beats or story beats from it. I saw people be excited that Spider-Man looks to be as strong as he should be, considering one mm-hmm. moment. So we'll see. And of course, you see the black eyes of Tom Holland, or in this case, Peter Parker, mm-hmm. in the trailer. But other than that, I don't know much, which I'm happy to be in that place. You,
good job.
You do a podcast, watched it more. Yes. More seriously than I did. Did he give you too much? Not enough?
Well, there's certain aspects that it feels like, okay, I think we know who Sadie Sink's character, sure. the character she's playing, but I mean, it's all speculation at the end of the day. John and I, we're not like diving into the leak photos or anything like that. It's just more of what we think based off the trailer so far. But I don't think it gave too much. I think there's still a lot of mystery because there's a lot of aspects with the amount of villains. Like, how is this going to play out? Is Spider-Man changing into Man-Spider? Is it something with the symbiote? Is it this or that? You know, there's a lot of elements that were still up in the air.
So that press tour is in full-on effect. We've seen you mentioned Sadie Sink. We've seen her with Zendaya and Jacob Batalon,
yeah.
Of course, Tom Holland. They're all together as they get the press tour started for that movie. Eric, we'll get to you here, and then we'll hear Michael talk about another superhero movie that has an interesting life online. When we talk about,
it's been an interesting online discussion.
The reviews of it and so forth. And Michael will have his opinion because he has watched it. Let's get to Eric. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, I heard the critics are not getting Supergirl good reviews, but I still want to see it. Also, I know Werewolf comes out, I think, December of this year, directed by Robert Eggers. I like The Witch, and I like Nosferatu. I hope this one's good as well, but I haven't seen the trailer for it. Any updates on that? I also heard there's a new animated series, The Joker, that's in the works. About he goes on a hunt who killed Batman, where he's not the villain, but the vigilante. If you heard anything about that, I'll hang up and listen.
So you heard Eric mention Werewolf with Robert Eggers. Mm-hmm. Robert Eggers, known as Eric, laid out some of the movies that he has. What was his most recent one with the Skarsgård?
It was Nosferatu.
The other Skarsgård. The one where he's a Viking.
Oh.
Looking for revenge.
Oh, Northman?
The Northman, yes.
Is that Eggers?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It is
him. Yeah, Northman.
The Northman,
I forgot about that one.
That was Alexander, and then you had Bill.
Yeah, so many Skarsgårds. Yeah,
there's so many Skarsgårds. Stellan's in there as well. So Eggers is accomplished, and this is his bag, the werewolf movie. I have seen the trailer, but don't remember it, which is good for me. It's fine. I think, or maybe I've seen a teaser. I don't remember. But I'm interested. I like a Robert Eggers movie. So, yes, you're right. Nosferatu was his latest, and then you've got Werewolf coming up. Spelled Werewolf. So if you're looking to find out more about it, spell it in at least our non-traditional way. Because if you type in werewolf, you're going to get a different movie. So werewolf is what you're looking for.
I don't think the trailer's out just yet. I think this was our first actual look at it.
Yeah, Esquire has a first look at it, yeah.
With that being the case, I would imagine in the next couple of weeks we'll get a trailer. Because usually once you get a first look image from like Esquire, Entertainment Weekly, one of those other ones, you're going to get a trailer pretty soon after that as they're beginning to launch the marketing for it. I'm curious about that one. I like what Robert Eggers does, especially with like Northman and movies like that. So I'm excited for it. And I believe, it comes out later this year around December.
Oh, Christmas Day.
Yeah, Christmas Day.
Werewolf on Christmas Day, yeah. It has a couple people who were in Nosferatu. Mm-hmm. Eric Taylor Johnson, Willem Dafoe, mm-hmm. Lily Rose Depp. So he is certainly a director who likes working multiple times with people from previous movies. So we'll see as we get ever closer to Christmas when Werewolf will come out. Okay, so a movie that's closer to coming out, you've already seen.
Well, really,
what do you want to go to?
Really, really quickly, he did mention about the Joker animated series that is coming out. There is three animated series that were just announced yesterday.
Did I see a Batman one as well?
There's an Absolute Batman, which is an adaptation of the new comic run that's been just dominating the comic charts as of late, Absolute Batman. Joker, I think it's Laugh Riot, and it's an anime series, and more akin to what they did with I think it was Suicide Squad. Isekai, I think was the name of it, and then Crypto, which is more of a family friendly.
Get that dog out of here.
Just don't like the animals, man.
I don't like CGI animals. I don't mind an actual dog.
It's a cartoon.
But I've already been poisoned by the CGI dog. So the cartoon, sorry, has really no shot. Dang.
So you're not going to watch Supergirl?
I'm going to watch it, but I won't like Crypto.
Yeah.
Going to hate the opening of the
before,
movie.
I have said it before that I imagine he's a bit of a driving force along with for the action along with the young girl mm-hmm. that that is being paired with Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a level of how much crypto I can take, is all I'm saying. Well, he can't be James Gunn's version of Grogu. I can't.
He's not.
I know he's got a dog that crypto's based off of. That's why the dog looks that way, I guess. But all right, we get it. You love animals.
So do I,
but not the CGI version.
The dog's not in it a ton.
But is it a driving force because something happens to the dog early?
Yeah, a little bit.
All right, that's what I thought. But at least the dog's not in the picture.
There are a lot of talking aliens as well.
I know because she is an alien herself, so it's just something. But at least, you know what? Are they humanoids or am I going to let
there's some weird, people? Okay. There's some weird aliens all up in this movie.
Like my only problem with Supergirl is all the aliens, not the things that other people have problems with. I loved it except for, you know, those aliens.
God, there's too many aliens in this movie.
And speaking of another animated series, I think we're just a couple days away from X-Men 97 season
2. Yeah, Wednesday comes out X-Men 97 season 2. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, so am I.
And Minions comes out Wednesday. No, not so much.
I'll miss it. I'll be fine. I'll be fine missing that. Before we get to your review, you have any I won't say experience, but have you watched any of Avatar Last Airbender, the animated show, or the live action?
A little bit of the animated show, but I haven't dove into the Netflix live action version, but I've heard mixed things about it, but it seems like season 2 so far is going in a right track and really adapting strongly what the animated series did.
Yeah, I watched it, and I was telling obviously everyone listening, and AJ, who's here with us, that I don't have much background watching the animated stuff. They introduced a big character in season 2. If you've seen the trailer, you would know who I'm talking about. I'll let people who haven't seen it, if they're planning on watching it, see that. And I just looked up that character and scenes from the original animated series, and the actress in question is playing that character to a T.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't have the long-standing connection with the character, so I'm not the best person to speak on it. But from what I can tell, that character's being done in the right way, which is something you want for people. And just the story right now, I'm in on it. I'll watch, and I was telling AJ that there's a lot of soccer to be watched, so I got to pick and choose when I watch things. So when I do decide I'm going to watch TV that isn't World Cup, I have that show is going to be on the list.
Yeah, it's only 7 episodes, and from my understanding, they're able to adapt it, but also streamline it in a way that works for live action. And a trailer looks good. It's a show that's been on my radar, and I was kind of mixed on it at first based off the initial reviews of season 1, but season 2, it's like, okay, I might give that one a try, because Netflix seems to have found their groove in terms of live action anime adaptations, with One Piece being a shining example. Yep. Although Cowboy Bebop was not so much, the characters were good. It's just the story and the way it moved and all that. But they're finding their footing with how to interpret live action anime.
So let's go to break here, because Michael has a review of one of the big movies of the summer, and then we'll get into some of his other thoughts on movies and television. We'll do that all when we come back.
Listening to the Del Olalea Show. That's kind of full of sports, but also filled with a lot of movie talk. Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
No Sean Mapes. He will join.
Is he being lazy?
He won't join us, but he will take over from us along with Brian.
Oh, shut up, Brian.
Who can't shut up because he is hosting
always
the show.
Talking. Always talking.
The bullpen out and about. They'll be today at By the Wayside as we continue our soccer watch parties here on ESPN 975. So Brian will be implored to talk, which is rare. So
he'll probably be talking about Jason Statham movies or something.
That's one way to go about your three hours. We'll see what happens there. But let's talk about a non-Jason Statham movie that you've seen. Probably has more controversy surrounding it than any Jason Statham movie ever. Maybe people didn't like him in one of the Fast movies. Who knows?
Who's to say?
But let's hear from Michael Carroll who did get to see Supergirl.
Yeah, and I saw it with Zhong Li. He was also in attendance for the screening earlier this week. Now, you mentioned it earlier when I first came on. The online discourse has been very interesting once the critics' reviews started coming out on Wednesday. It's been mixed at best for some of the critics. Some of them being way, way harsher than others.
Variety.
Variety, calling it horrendous. I would challenge to watch other movies like a War of the Worlds.
Have you seen a Dakota Johnson superhero movie?
Or Madam Web or something like that. Thank you. For something like that, because come on now. Like that, this movie is not anything of that nature. It is a solid, good movie. I enjoyed my time with it. So did Jong. Jong ended up landing on a 8 out of 10.
Okay.
I landed at on a 5-point scale, 3.5 out of 5. I think
that's from your Letterbox.
That's from Letterbox.
Tell people where they can find it.
Yeah, if you go to Letterbox, you can just search my name at ProducerMike975. It's the same everywhere at ProducerMike975, and you can follow me on Letterbox where I post a lot of the reviews and stuff that I talk about. But I talked about it in the review as well. While it's a good like action superhero movie, it's not going to be top tier. It's not going to be in the best of the best or anything like that, but it's still an enjoyable time. The shining piece to it all is Melie Alcock as Kara Zor-El. She is phenomenal. She nails all the emotions. Very well done. The action sequences, her just energy that she brings and the chemistry that she has with Eve Ridley, who plays Ruthie, or the character she's going along this ride for the duration of it. Very good. And she showcases Kara's pain that we saw how she was in Superman briefly last year, but we really expand upon why she's just kind of just running around the universe, getting drunk and dealing with the problems that she has with her traumatic past with Krypton. Now, what I had mentioned about emotion, while she does a good job with it, I think the film never delivered strong emotional impact. You would have these emotional beats happen, and I didn't feel anything. Like, it was fine. It was like, okay, I get it. But I think the film moved a little bit too quickly and didn't establish certain elements as well as it could have, especially with like the villain, the operation, what they're doing in the comic that it's based on. You see a lot of the fallout that the villains are leaving, and it's like, oh man, this is rough. Supergirl does not go nearly as hard as the book does. And so this is where I think the book is better. So I highly recommend reading Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow. But it's a solid action superhero film that you can rewatch and it'll be a good time. It's got good comedy as well. The effects I thought were fine. Some people have complained about the CGI. I haven't noticed anything that's been a problem with that. Music's very good. Cast, Jason Momoa's Lobo. He's in it just enough. Like, he's in it enough, but never to where it's like, okay.
So you would say you like his rendition?
Yeah.
His portrayal of Lobo?
I think it's like, he's perfect for this role.
Okay.
Like, even more so than he was with Aquaman or some of these other ones. It's like, yeah, he was born to play that character. Eve Ridley, who plays Ruthie, very good. Matthias Schoenaerts, who's the villain. He's one note villain. Like, he is what he is. He's not super complex or anything like that, but I didn't expect that from this villain. I didn't need a Killmonger or Thanos or anybody like that. I just needed him to be doing evil things. He does that. Creature designs are really incredible, what they're able to do. Also disgusting in some ways, but in a good way. I think just if you don't resonate with some of the story beats and some of the elements, that's where it hinders for people, especially if for folks that really enjoyed the comic that it's based on. It's not the comic. It loosely adapts it. And so that's where some folks are frustrated with it. Some of the folks are frustrated with the villain. Some of the folks are frustrated with some of the CGI, like I mentioned. And then others are just being hateful, you know. Oh, it's a woman in my superhero movie. You know what I mean? Like, it's just being, like, hateful in that way. And then, of course, Zack Snyder fans of DC are like, oh, I want Snyder's vision back. And so there's a mix on that aspect when it comes to the movie.
So Michael Carroll's telling you, not nearly as bad as
the
things you're seeing on social media.
If you
want an action movie with a star that looks like she's going to be a star, go watch Supergirl, which is in theaters currently, right?
Yeah, currently. And then really quickly before we move on, it's only an hour 47 minutes, which is part of why I was like, it could have used like 10 more minutes to help flesh out some of those elements. And there is no post-credit or mid-credit scene, so if you need a jet, you can
This is good. I'm a person who doesn't look into it and then will be on my phone as the credits roll. Is there a mid-credit scene here? Yeah. Do I need to stay? So there it is, Michael, giving you the right information. All right, that's the big movie. Yeah. This weekend, is there anything else movie-wise, or we can move to television?
Well, movie-wise, Supergirl's the big one, and that's the one I would recommend. There is Jackass Best and Last, the latest film. It's a mix of new stuff with archival footage, so if you've been a fan of that franchise with all the dumb stunts that they do, you could watch that. A friend of mine, he watched it last night, and he simply said, I want to make sure I get the wording right. He said, movie was gross, like all Jackass movies. I laugh, but I'm glad when they're over. So there you go.
Okay.
That's all you need from that movie. And then the rest of the theater releases are a mixed bag, to say the least. There's a new Angelina Jolie movie, Couture, not getting great reviews. 48% of critics have not been a fan. The Get Out, a new film starring Russell Crowe. That looks good, but I would wait for streaming on that one. And Lucky Strike, a new World War II movie starring Scott Eastwood, Colin Hanks. That one's a little bit better.
So the Sons of People We Love.
Yeah, the Sons of People, exactly. Okay. 60% with critics right now for that one. But that's another one where I would probably just wait till streaming and catch it. Then when it moves to TV, the big one for TV is The Bear season 5, just released yesterday. All 8 episodes are available right now. It seems to be back on track. 97%. A lot of critics only got to see the first 7 episodes, so can't weigh in necessarily on the full like season finale how it is, but by all accounts it's been a return to form if folks weren't as excited with season 3 or season 4. But season 5, The Bear, it's available for folks on FX and Hulu, of course.
Anything else as we are about to wrap it up? Because those are the big ones. Anything maybe sneaking on the radar for people?
I guess, at home? Are you either of y'all Larry David fans?
I mean, I watch Seinfeld and, you know, Curb at times, but not a giant fan. He's all right.
He's all right. Because Life, Larry, and the Pursuit of Unhappiness, a limited series, premieres tonight on HBO at 8 p.m. Central our time. It's just a bunch of sketches where him and a lot of his celebrity friends recreate major historical moments in history, but it's like basically what if you had the Wright brothers but you put Larry David in the middle of that.
So it's maybe not an offshoot of Drunken History, but yeah, it's something along those
lines. Think of that when you see that. The first episode premieres tonight again on HBO and HBO Max. Little Brother, the new John Cena Eric Andre movie,
it's not a chance I watched that.
It doesn't look good. I would skip that. That's on Netflix. Yeah. If you want to put on a forgettable comedy, you could do that. Also, I would skip In the Hand of Dante. I don't know if you've seen or heard of this movie.
Nope.
It's incredible cast. Oscar Isaac, Gerard Butler, Martin Scorsese, Jason Momoa, John Malkovich, Al Pacino, Gal Gadot. Like, it's got a good cast. But it's one of those films where it's like only the director seems to know what's happening. And only the director understands the story. I watched the trailer multiple times. I could not tell you what's happening. I have no idea what's happening. And a lot of critics feel that way as well, 35% right now. So skip that one. If you want to watch maybe a horror thriller mystery, there's a new film on Peacock called Strung that you may give a chance, starring Chloe Bailey and Lynn Whitfield. So there's that for folks.
So
it's not the strongest week, I will say.
No, you've got some... You got the majors like The Bear and then Supergirl, mm-hmm. and then you got to pick and choose to find something. Maybe go back to an old reliable if you're really looking for something to watch. The Agency, as you mentioned.
Yeah, The Agency.
I've started that. The first couple episodes are pretty good. Fassbender's in some real trouble. That's all I'll say because he put himself in a spot at the end of season 1 that he's still trying to get out of, and it's going to be tough. We'll see if he can. That's on Paramount Plus right now. All right, that music means we're done. Thank you to Michael. Thanks, Michael, for
for
joining us. He does it every week. You can listen to Comicast wherever you listen to podcasts, and for the most part, on Wednesday nights here on ESPN 975. He does that with Jong Lee.
It's true.
Remind them one more time your letterbox.
Oh, at ProducerMike975. You can follow me everywhere at ProducerMike975.
So if you're looking to get more information on what Michael's up to movie-wise and TV-wise, remember that handle. AJ, thank you for helping me out the last, what, 4 days now? Right?
I did 1 day. No. He did 3 days.
Actually, 3 days.
Yeah.
Sorry. 1 day for Michael, one day for Sean, 3 days for AJ. So AJ's the winner or the loser. He had to spend all that time with me. AJ, since we're done for the day, what does that mean?
We should be eating 28 pounds of fluid nacho cheese.
I was making America healthy just now.
Too much nacho cheese in that bucket.
Old Lance audio from like a couple months ago, I say.
Incredible. Thank you. Maybe I'll need to get with you on that to keep that in my archive. Brian and Sean, the watch parties continue. They're out at By the Wayside. Join them out there. It's them and then Jeremy and Joe from Tall the Six. All right, we're done for the week. I'll talk to you on Monday. Appreciate it.
Independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.